In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, we have another one of those questions in Scripture that we should never ask. But you must answer it, because all questions in Scripture you must answer. There are no rhetorical questions in Scripture. Anything that is present in the Scripture is for us to learn from, and all the questions must be answered. But this is a question that a Christian should never ask, not in the context in which the man asked it. A certain rich man, an unnamed rich man, an inconsequential person who now is in hell, had a great harvest. And because the harvest was so great, he didn't have room to store it. So, our Lord says, he thought within himself, only by himself, not about anybody but himself. He didn't consult with anyone else. He didn't think about anyone else. It didn't occur to him that there was anyone else. This was all within himself. He said, what shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruits. Now he comes up with the answer. He's going to pull down his barns, perfectly good, acceptable barns. He's going to make bigger barns, and he's going to bestow all his fruits there, and he'll be able to party and be merry the rest of his days. He asked a very foolish question. This is akin to the question that we discussed a few times ago. Maybe it was last week or the week before. Who is my neighbor? Both of these questions a Christian should never ask. He should know the answer. Everyone is my neighbor. And what shall I do with the things that God gives to me? You should know that answer. And that answer is, what God gives, you give. God gives you things, whether they be material or whether they be the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the changing of your character and your temperament and the gradual perfection of your soul. He gives you all these things so that you can act. St. Paul is very explicit on that point with one of the more misunderstood verses ever in the Scriptures, because it's usually only said halfway and not the other part. And that's in the epistle today. So let's read that in the context of the rich man, the unnamed rich man, the one who thought only of himself, the one who didn't think about other people, who asked that question, what shall I do with the good things that I have in my life? St. Paul says, By grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But then it continues. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Of course, this verse must be understood that theologically that we of ourselves can do nothing, and therefore we should not be proud of our accomplishments or of our salvation. That's absolutely true. But also, even more importantly in this verse, the apostle is teaching us that we were created for good. We were created to be good, to become good, to do good. We are his workmanship. He will help us to do good. And our purpose in life is to be and become and do good, because God is good. So the answer to the question, what shall I do with my fruits? That answer is, we are his workmanship, created unto good works. That is the answer. Now it's a should be an obvious answer, and yet it evidently is not, because we have so many sins in our life that show that we do not understand the answer to this question. Greediness, selfishness, jealousy. Those are some of those sins that show that we do not understand this question, and that we must answer it always to do good works, to be good, to become good, because God is good. Now, I've been telling you for quite some time that you must read the gospel to learn. And what you must learn is your purpose. Now, that's not something that you can just write down on a piece of paper and say, okay, I understand that question now. 1 + 1 = 2. I've got that mastered. I can move on to other things. No, our purpose is not like that. Every day, every moment, we should know more about our purpose, because we are his workmanship. And he, the unreachable, unknowable God, became reachable and knowable by becoming man and making us capable of knowing him and becoming like him. We are his workmanship. And to understand that, you have to do it. That's the only way to know it, is to do it. And so we must cultivate in us a knowledge of ourselves and of each other, and a fervent desire to do good to others, to be aware of the needs of others. This is a very hurting world. So many people have no purpose in life. People that you meet on the street, that you work with at work, even people that come through the doors of a church, don't understand their purpose, why they are alive, and how wondrous it is to be alive and to be in Christ. That's a terrible tragedy. There are also people, some people come around this church, that are hungry, or that are cold, or that have some difficulty in their life and are basically alone. And you could see these people everywhere, really. And if you don't see them in the flesh, we're certainly aware of them. I think everybody probably has seen the billboard by now. I believe it says 1 in 7 people in the DFW area go hungry. On a regular basis, it might be 1 in 8. But what's a percentage, you know? What's important is that nobody should be going hungry. Nobody should be without purpose. Nobody should be in the depths of depression. Nobody should be feeling alone, feeling vulnerable. That's not how life should be. Life should be where people are in Christ and with happiness and contentment and peace in their souls. Now, the Lord said, the poor you'll have with you always. So we shouldn't think that our purpose in life is to eradicate the poor, because that will never happen. But our purpose in life is, with the things we have, to do good, to become good, as God is good. This is a very important thing. You must develop in you every day a deep feeling for the needs of others. Do you ever have this kind of thought? I think some of you have had. We've talked about it. You're driving down the street and cars are passing you, going this way and that way. And every single one of those cars has a soul in it, maybe multiple souls. And they have their happinesses and their sadnesses. They have the things that they're doing, the things that they want to do, their dreams. Most of them don't know why they're here. Most of them are going through great trials and troubles. In this room here, in this temple, most of us have great trials and troubles on a regular basis, perhaps on a chronic basis. How aware are you of the needs of others and of what they're going through? Now, I'm your pastor. I know many things because of that. But you should know also. We should develop a sort of a radar, knowing when people have needs. I don't mean that we should be able to read people's minds and know that they have trouble with the heating bill or that they're going through a divorce or something or whatever it is, unless it's evident. But we should have a feeling that the people that we are close to, and you should be close to everybody here, you should care about everyone here, are going through great trials. And therefore, we should pray for them and we should make ourselves available to them. If this happened, both on our little micro scale and our little temple with our small community and with others, there would be no hunger. There's absolutely no physical reason for hunger. There's enough food. There's more than enough food. We have the technology. We have the ability. We have the infrastructure. We don't have the will, because we don't care enough. Now, I'm not trying to get you involved in the social gospel. The gospel must first be in the heart and then must reach out to others. But I am telling you that each one of us should examine ourselves, myself first. How much do we care for our brother, our sister, our neighbor, our co-worker, our acquaintance, the person we see on the street every once in a while, and all the rest? How much do you care? The only way that this question could be asked properly, "What shall I do?" is, "Lord, here am I. What do you want me to do?" But not, "What shall I do with my goods?" Now, we should first give of ourselves, of our heart to others. That's why I tell you, you should pray for everyone. Very critically important. And consider that everyone has needs, and that everyone has trials, and that to care for their trials and their needs, that they matter to you. And if you do that, then God will bring about situations where you will be helping your brother, your sister, your neighbor, your cousin, your acquaintance, your enemy. Prayer is important, and another practical thing is important. We live better than the pharaohs did. We have better food, more comfort, better health than the kings of old. Even those that are poor often have better things than the kings of old. And yet, we have so much, and yet our hearts are not warm. With that which you have, give to others. If you're not giving alms, then your soul is in great danger. Great danger. Alms should be a regular thing for you. It should be a natural thing for you to give alms, whether it be the person on the street who needs a meal, or whether it be giving to organizations, charities, whether it be giving to our Mighty Mites collections, which we do every single week. You should be giving alms. If you're not giving alms, your soul's in great danger. That's just plain and simple. Give of your substance to God. Give it to the church and give it to others. because you won't take any of it with you. The only thing that you're going to take with you with your when you die is the person you have become. And just because you're not rich doesn't mean you can't be like the rich man. The rich man who thought within himself. Christians do not think within themselves. Christians think as God thinks. And God always thinks of others. He always thinks of everyone. You never should think within yourself. Because we were made wonderfully and fearfully. And we were made to be his workmanship, to have good works in our lives. So consider the rich man's question and answer it, but never ask it. May God help us in all things. Amen.